Good morning, Welcome. Who's speaking?
Yeah, g'day. It's Ben Hoyt speaking from Prism Magazine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Would you like to find this?
Yeah, that'd be great.
1 second. This is from Prism Magazine. The guy,
Hello. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, g'day.
Hello.
It's Ben.
Hi.
From Prism.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Is now a good time, yeah?
Of course.
Thanks. Thanks for taking this on. It's
no problem. Going straight away.
Yeah. Just to get the details straight, do you spell world with all caps or just a capital W? I've seen both.
Oh, all capitals, yeah.
All caps.
Important.
Okay. Where did the name come from?
It actually comes from... we wanted, when we, you know, the serious thing of naming your company, we wanted a name that wouldn't box us in to men's, women's accessories, things. It was ageless, timeless, bound, no boundaries. We just didn't want that situation whereby the name people just have conjure up pretty girl dresses or,
uh-huh.
you know,
a lot of
over 40 or middle class or whatever. You know, we wanted to be able to create and do whatever we wanted underneath the name of the company. And so we called it World. So that means, you know, really we can create anything underneath that or through it and change all the time. I mean, you know, our collections, fashion-wise, go from really avant-garde to really contemporary and serious. And then within that, the stores have got wonderful gift ideas that go from sublime to, you know, the most sublime, beautiful things to kind of funny, humorous, and virgin ridiculous. And our customers are able to take that without, you know, the word name can actually really prejudge a lot of things.
And it also implies that, you know, how your scope is far and wide.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, that's the, so the one side I told you is the kind of serious, practical side, but the other side is the fantasy, is we want to be worldwide. We want to be as big as the world, not just a little company, you know, possibly. If we can succeed, that's what we want to achieve. So that was, again, the name.
Now, given the far and wide scope, do you try to incorporate a sense of Kiwi in your design or business processes?
A sense of Kiwi, just in the sense that it's from here. No, we don't wear the badge on our front lapel in a way that is... It's, for me, I find that a little bit parochial, and you know, that it's kind of, it becomes political. You know, you're thinking, it's like think big, or, you know, you kind of kill the spark of creativity when you're pushing something, obviously, like a hidden agenda or a added something. For me, I just think, hey, I'm a fashion designer, and my team around me and myself, we want to create a beauty that's modern and contemporary and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really our job. You know, my job is to show my audience, whether it's a guy or a girl here in Hong Kong or New Zealand or wherever, a sense of newness and something exciting. I don't want to go, well, it's New Zealand. You know,
that
if that can happen as well, then that's great. And we proudly say made in New Zealand on our label, and it's obvious that we're from New Zealand, I think it is, because of the color and the way we approach things, but we don't embrace it. You know, we don't go Iwi or Aotearoa, we don't do that. It's just,
gotcha.
I find that quite
now that's
limiting, and it actually takes away from what's great about what the product.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I'm a little bit hard that way.
In terms of the business side, hiring staff, and is local good in that sense?
Oh, absolutely. We're most probably quite a unprofessional or not. That's not the right word. Maybe quite
casual.
Personal. We take things personally at World, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. I've realised that over the years, and we usually only end up taking on stuff that we quite like. I mean, the skill, of course, goes without saying, you know, like machinists and pattern cutters and everything, they've got to be good at what they do, obviously, but we kind of employ people that we like and get on with, because for me anyway, I can only speak for myself, world is all-encompassing, you know, it is really my life in many, many ways. So I selfishly surround myself with the people I actually love to be with.
Yeah.
And they have, unfortunately, the sad bastard end of it is I pay them. I pay my friends, but that's how it works. We try. I mean, of course, sometimes it doesn't work that way, but we try to surround ourselves with people that we really like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the journey's an enjoyable one, because, you know, work can be really hard.
Yeah.
And if you're working with people that you fundamentally don't get on with or wouldn't, not socialize with, but wouldn't really relate to, it makes it much harder, I feel. So that's our philosophy in a way, and some people would say it's a little bit unprofessional, but we proudly like that.
It sounds neat.
Yeah. We get it wrong sometimes, don't get me right. You know? But
yeah.
That's what we aim for.
Does that mean work and social life, or work and family, are quite intertwined?
Oh, it has been, yes. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to go back and do a timeline, you know, we got married and opened the business all in the same month. And had a daughter in the same year. So our lives are very intertwined. Me much more so than my partner Denise. She's a lot more departmentalized and really enjoys not being part of, you know, not having it 24/7. But for me, I have been accused of not being able to switch off it. To me, I can't separate it.
Sounds familiar. What inspired you to take up fashion design?
I fell into it. I'm not trained at all in design, if you want to call it that, or ever taken a course. But I used to be a DJ years and years ago, you know, before they had electric light. And I was in London, and I basically just needed a job. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, it was just, you know, those amazing things that happened. I needed a job. And so I got a job with a company called Comme des Garçons, and basically that changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of went, wow, this is cool. And I was very lucky at a time. I joined a company at a time when fashion was not so serious. It was still embryonic. You know, you could join and learn a lot in a company when it wasn't so, you know, like now if you join those big companies, it's like bloody BP or a government department. They're huge. But when I joined in the early 80s, they were like world, you know, just running on the seat of their pants, and every day was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very lucky. I was able to see that. And I didn't just work for them. I worked for some amazing people. So I learned a lot, but it was on-the-job learning.
Yep. Now, sorry, what was the name of that company, the first company you worked
for? The first one was Comme des Garçons. C-O-M-M. De Garçon, D-E, and then Garçon, G-A-R-C-O-N, Comme des Garçons.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know if it's got an E, I'm not sure. I don't work for them anymore. I think it is, it's Comme. It's for the men. It's a Japanese label.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I worked for a very unknown designer called John Galliano. At the time, he was this unknown guy, but now he's, you know, world famous in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was very lucky. I had a really great apprenticeship, if you want to call it that.
Some of the news articles make it sound like it was really easy for you and Denise.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it always is, because, you know, the people that write the thing, they do big interviews, and then they've got to, say everything in 400 words, you know what I mean? So they can sensationalize it. I mean, I do say that what's great about New Zealand fashion, not just world in particular, you know, the big brands that, you know, we're one of the big brands, you know, of New Zealand fashion, is that, of course, we were the big brands because we were the first. You know, I came back to New Zealand in the mid-80s, and, you know, New Zealand was fucking Albania. There was nothing happening here. You either left the country or you smoked weed,
mm-hmm,
and got married. I mean, that's what you did. You know, there was nothing else to do. It was a fucking shithole. And we came back, and Denise and I hooked up, and we decided to leave the country. But in the end, it was either leave or stay. We thought, let's stay and do what we love doing. Because, of course, the good side of New Zealand is that there's no corruption. You could open a business without paying racketeering. You could, you know, start a business up. And it was that naive Wild West, because, of course, you know, it was a very closed economy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first started out, it was really great.
what were some of the unfashionable things involved in starting the
There was nothing unfashionable. It was a clean slate. I mean, that's why we were very lucky. You know, the Zambezis and the Worlds and the Kates and the Karens and the, you know, all of the ones that, oh, you know, you names, and you within New Zealand fashion. It was great because it was all just very much, there was no prejudices, no nothing. If you want to flip the coin, the hard side was that the general public were ignorant and we had to teach them. So I always say to people, as a New Zealand designer, you get paid for your fashion and that's fine for what you do, but then you will always be the unpaid educator of New Zealand fashion. So I get paid when you buy my garment, but I'm always talking about New Zealand's good, New Zealand fashion is creative, New Zealand talent is world class, but of course I'm saying that not just to you, but to my general public, to the general public, to say, hey, take us seriously, buy our clothes, buy our ideas, because they're really important, they really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than maybe the Australians or others have been not so successful, you know, the Asians aren't so successful, the Asian consuming public believe that Europe is where fashion is. So there's all these great Asian designers who aren't taken seriously because money counts. Do you see what I mean?
Yep, yep.
So we take it seriously because you know what I mean? Like we're charming and convincing and educating the New Zealand public and the Australian public and the global public to take us seriously, you know, mm-hmm. pay your hard-earned dollars to buy our clothes. I mean, I think that's where the hard work has not been shunned by New Zealand designers. We've really worked long and hard to be taken seriously from day one because it never existed before that.
And that was something you did right from the start?
Right from the start. Had to. And that was something we knew we had to do. It wasn't like, oh, you know, we were just making friends. It was like we realized that was the biggest weakness, was that you had to be taken seriously, you know? Like, people, you want $150 for a shirt, or $300 for a skirt, or $500 for a coat, or more. You know, hey, you can't go, oh, mate, you know, you've got to say, it's beautifully made, look at the way we're, you know, all these things have to be taken seriously. You have to work many hours to earn that money.
What's one key piece of business advice you'd have for starting small companies?
You've got to work really hard. That's the only key thing. Two. One is, if you think you're going to have to work 50 hours or even 40 hours, that fucking bloody Victorian unionist ideal of like the worker should not work more than 38 hours a week, well then you're fucking joking. You're deluded. If you want to start your own business, regardless of what it is, you will have to work 70 to 100 hours a week for 10 years. Get your business up and running, unless you're lucky and you're a Todd or a Fletcher or a Horton or a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're just Joe Bloggs, but you've got a passion and a drive in you to succeed, then work, hard work, that's the only way it'll get you ahead. And the second thing is to just really, really have a resilience and a belief in your talent or in your skill and to support that with hard work.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Nothing else.
Excellent. About World, it's usually described as being avant-garde or experimental.
Yeah.
I noticed you used the word avant-garde before, but are these terms you generally apply to yourself?
No, that's been thrown at us. I mean, I use it occasionally. It's kind of a redundant word now, avant-garde. I mean, fashion's gotten so slick and so the downside of fashion now, because it's such a huge force in contemporary life and culture, that it's gotten like product and PR'd and it's become a bit of a lie, actually. A lot of fashion is just bullshit. It's there to please the consumer. And so words like avant-garde and the word fashion in itself has become so overused that it doesn't have any meaning or value.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And how, like, you Vogue,
you know,
that?
Vogue. I mean, what does Vogue mean? You know, it's like dog shit. But of course, when it was first thought of, it was a very powerful word that meant something very specific. And so, yes, the word avant-garde was used in, you know, 17 years ago when we first started out. And it stuck because, of course, I think, yes, we were very avant-garde. We wanted to be recognized. We wanted to push boundaries. We wanted to exist and to excite. America, and we still want to do that, but World has grown much bigger than that. I mean, World is not just an avant-garde brand. It's very contemporary. We're still leaders in our field of fashion, but, you know, we do menswear, we do children's, we do women's, we do accessories. So to say, oh, World's very avant-garde, I think is very limiting.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we are, but we're so much more than that. You know, we're humorous, we're irreverent, but we also take our work and our ideas very seriously.
So who would be your major buyers?
Any and everyone. I mean, it's quite funny. People think, oh, avant-garde will just be teenagers. It's really fun. But, I mean, in New Zealand, our average customer is 30. Well, we get lots of... What's great, because we're so much an ideas brand, we have lots of 20-somethings. But equally, we have women up to their 45 shopping with us. I mean, we're talking a lot, not just a small segment. So we have women from, you know, basically late teens right through to the late 40s, basically our core customer. And that's pretty much anyone with a heartbeat. But, of course, the point that makes them special is that they come to us because they want color, point of difference, great shape. You know, they want something different from the main mass market lines or the more contemporary boring lines. And then, of course, that also happens with men.
Mm-hmm.
It's equal with men. Again, men from 20-somethings to 50-somethings come to us for great color, great shape, you know, contemporary cut.
Do you design clothes for a specific sector? Well, I guess you've already answered that.
Not really. I mean, that's where we're not so much driven by product, and, you know, we don't sit down and go, what's our demographic? Who are we talking to? I mean, we're still very, very, I think, very true as a designer. We just think of, we work in our workroom, in our studio, creating great ideas and great wearable, exciting clothes that we love. And then
you
love them.
yeah.
You know, we don't do market research and focus groups and all that kind of shit. You know, we're not McDonald's.
Yeah, so you're sick to find you. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think true fashion should be like that.
Mm-hmm. How does a particular design get from the catwalk to the buyers?
To the general public? Okay, two ways. And I think why it succeeded for us is that we have our own stores. That we run our own stores in New Zealand. So we, for example, I'm being hypothetical, we could do a sequined glitter suit for a man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Design it up, think, oh my God, that's great. We'll do a waistcoat, we'll do a shirt, tie, everything. And we will make it and we'll put it in our shop. So you, walking down the street, will actually see it and go, whoa, that's amazing. So there's a true honesty there. If we believe in something, we'll make it and show it to you and put a price tag, and you'll go, wow, that's great. I'll buy it, or I won't buy it. Whereby internationally, fashion, what happens is the designer creates a collection, shows it on the runway, which you and I will see on TV, but then the buyer from a department store or a shop will go to the show and go, I don't want any of that glitter stuff. I just want denim jeans and black T-shirts. And so when you go to the stores, all you see is a very watered-down, over-commercialized, and in reality boring boring presentation of that brand.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, the brand dies. And that's a big problem with fashion, is that, of course, the buyer is driven by profit, not by ideas. You know, he's going to lose his job if he doesn't fucking nail it. So they buy, you know, anoraks, denim jeans, T-shirts, and, you know, sports jackets. Whereby what you'd call a vertical operator, someone who creates the idea, markets the idea, and sells the idea, can go, I don't care, it's going to be purple shag pile. That's what it's going to be.
Mm.
Because I'd have a huge risk. You could go, I hate it, and I won't sell one thing. But that's, I think, also why we've done very well. It's because we have been able to show those avant-garde, those different things to the general public. You just have to walk in the store and you'll see it.
Sounds much more real than some of the other ways of doing it.
Yeah, but then, you know, we have taken big hits. Like, I remember, you know, we've done things where we're really passionate about certain colour and shape and idea, and the general public's coming and going, yuck. And we've gone, oh my God, you know, because we've made the clothes, we can't just pick up the phone and go, oh, can you send us a whole lot of Levi's? You know, we don't do that. So we've had to sell those ideas all season and make something bad good. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a good and a positive and a negative in what you do. So the good side is we stand out like a sore thumb. We're really original. We're really colourful and different. But the bad side is that you could hate it. But hopefully you'll love it. That, I mean, that's the excitement of fashion. And also the other X factor, remember, is it changes every 6 months. You know, that's why fashion is so compelling, is because every 6 months everything changes. You know, pretty much in business, a product is a product is a product. It just runs forever. You know, Cadbury's chocolate, skincare, it's the same thing. 20 years from now, it's the same thing. But in fashion, it changes. In true fashion, you know, I'm talking not clothing. In true fashion, it changes every 6 months. And in reality, there's only three or four of us in New Zealand that are true fashion. The rest are pretty much just stylists and product people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fashion designers. But that's a whole other story.
It sounds a little more philosophical. On that note, what do you think is the purpose of fashion design?
Fashion is to seduce. Fashion is to excite. Fashion is to create beauty and sexiness. That's what fashion is, in both for men and women. To be blunt, it's sex. It's, you know, society, you can't walk around naked with your big chest, or you can't do that. So you, and we all have different in varied characters, and fashion is a reflection of that.
Yeah. And you're speaking specifically of clothing.
Yeah.
Do you have any more to say about the meaning or purpose of clothing, the meaning of clothing?
Oh, it's cultural. I mean, you know, again, if you want to go into clothes, I mean, fashion is the sexy end of clothing, so that's what I just said, sex and,
mm-hmm.
you know, seduction. But clothes, you know, it's a reflection of society, of the times. And, of course, now that it's so global and so global, really, fashion and clothing just reflects the times, you know, good times, bad times, war, peace, wealth, poverty. I mean, it's just a reflection of it. And it speaks in so many ways. You can have music fashion, you can have corporate fashion, you can have, I mean, Jesus, you know, you can just go on and on and on. It is so powerful. It's this huge, massive undercurrent that most people don't take seriously. They go, fashion, oh, it's just a whole lot of, you know, girls and queens making dresses. What's that? It's not serious. And I laugh because, you know, those people are ignorant. They don't realize how huge and influential and important fashion is to the global economy, global society, global culture. It's just, you know, it's like paparazzi and the celebrity of. People think it's really light and ditzy and it means nothing. And yes, of course it is very shallow, but it is also something that society at present places a lot of value on, rightly or wrongly.
Uh-huh.
And it touches our lives in every way.
Couple more here. My wife and I are having a baby soon.
Oh, congratulations.
Cheers. And so we have to start thinking about kids' clothing.
Yep.
I notice you have World Baby. What are some of the special things you have to think about with kids' clothing?
Oh, with kids? What is that the question? What do we think about?
Well, what are some of the special things you have to think about?
Oh, of course. That, I mean, again, first of all, we're running a business, so it's about practical things, like it's got to be washable and wearable, it's got to be comfortable to the skin, it can't be irritant. You know, we only use natural fibers, we don't use, like, you know, lamé for a baby. I mean, that's just cruel.
Yeah.
So basic practicalities actually come to the forefront, where in adult fashion, you know, tight jeans for a guy or a super sexy miniskirt, well, that's maybe not practical, it's very sexy, but it's not practical. You're going to freeze to death in winter, but we don't care. We want to look hot. But for a baby, of course, it's like, you know, you want it to be fireproof, you want it to be warm, and it's about covering up and protecting. But then after saying that, we put slogans on and we just play. I mean, again, it's that whole thing of seduction is, you
mm-hmm.
know, appealing to the parent's sensibilities, really. That's who we talk to. I mean, the child doesn't give a shit. You know, as long as it's warm and it's fed and it's by mum and dad, it's happy. So really, we play to the adult, but we also make sure that the actual wearer is protected. I mean, you know, it's just basic stuff. But we practical but fun. I mean, you know, it is not brain surgery, huh?
Yeah. Can you describe how Denise and you complement each other in the business?
Denise is the serious one. I'm the silly one. We very much are chalk and cheese, but we've succeeded because we really respect each other's opinions and we trust each other. I mean, the trust is the most important thing. I mean, I can't tell you, we wouldn't have survived if there was no trust. And so if she really believes in something, I'd just go, yeah, do it. You know, I'll support you. I'm not going to fight against you. And of course, this involves money and time, direction of the company, and vice versa. She does that too. We're married. We're not just partners in business. So there's also that other side of just the love, I guess. So, you know, it's something that lasts forever. Or we hope it does.
Excellent. One last question. What's a typical day in the life of a fashion?
Difficult day in the life is bills. Yeah. it is. It's just bills. Because we're running a creative company. You know, we take a lot of risk. I mean, you know, we have very high research and development costs. We have really high promotion costs, meaning fashion shows and things like that. And in the end, it all has to come back to selling product. And we are a small company, so we risk everything to push the idea. And it means that our overheads are really high. You know, I think if an accountant came in, they'd go, oh my God, you know, change everything. Because this is inefficient. I mean, being a fashion house, which is funny, being a fashion house, we're very inefficient. We have very high running costs. Because we don't copy. You know, we might make a jacket 10 times to get it right. Once we get it right, we may only make, so that means we spend 4 weeks making the jacket.
Wow.
Okay, we decide it's perfect, that's what we want. Then we put into production, and we might only make 30. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
And I'm not selling this for $5,000. I'm selling this for $400. So those 430 jackets have to pay for all that overhead. So the answer is bills. That's a horrible day in the life of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone, no matter how small a company or how big a company, that would be the main truthful answer.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Hey, look, thanks for thinking of us, and send us a copy.
Yeah, I will do.
If you need any photos, just give me a ring or email, and we can send you just some visuals. You know, I know sometimes you really need something to...
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, the old words.
Yeah.
But just, you've got the email, don't you? Info@wordbrand, and we can just send you some, you know, like a boy and a girl shot, and, you know, a picture of Denise and myself. I know it's cheesy, but we know that we need to do things like that.
Yeah,
and
no, that'll be excellent. I'll send you an email.
Cool.
Now, I noticed your website.
It's up and running one day.
Okay, is that how it goes?
That's something we're working on. It's taking us forever.
Uh-huh. And you've got someone in charge of that?
Not yet. I mean, it's something that we're looking into.
I see.
Yeah.
Has the internet affected your business at all?
At present, it's made it harder for us because, of course, we haven't really addressed it because we're still old-fashioned. You know, like, we work on patterns. We don't work on computer. We work on cloth and cuffing, and so we're quite real computer nerds. But of course, the internet's really changed everything for communication. But we don't sell on the internet. We're still like, you need to see the color and you need to see the cut and the feel of it. So we don't sell on the internet, but we communicate, of course, on the internet.
Same reason we print our magazine.
Pretty much. Exactly the same.
Yeah. No. Thanks for your time.
Hey, you too.
Ta-da. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.